In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I thought of changing the hymns today to Chief of Sinners Though I Be and On Eagle's Wings, but then I decided that might not be a good idea. My opening illustration this morning is fictional. I borrowed some of the vocabulary from different authors, and some of it is just my rather awkward imagination. The church in my story is a composite of many different churches. The places and events are not real in the historical sense, but they are based on reality, and I think there's some truth in them. There was once a church called St. John's by the gas station Evangelical Lutheran Church in the town of Wegovy. From Bible passages such as our gospel reading, where Jesus tells the disciples that they will be fishers of men, they sincerely wanted to reach out to others with the good news of Jesus Christ. As it said in the epistle reading, they wanted to strive to excel in building the church. But that was not going to be easy in their town. Due to the economy and population demographics, Wegovy was not growing. Actually, they were losing population. The people in town who belonged to churches were usually in churches where their family had been members for generations. And those who didn't go to church were very unlikely to suddenly start attending. Many of them were very militantly opposed to anyone who tried to share their faith with them. Most evangelism efforts were dead in the water. Still, the people of St. John's by the gas station were hopeful and optimistic, as Christians should be. As astute business people, and believing Yogi Berra's saying that if you don't set goals, you'll never achieve them, they set a goal of a 10% increase in both church membership and worship attendance for the coming year. That year, a few people did join, and some people who hadn't attended worship in years came back to worship. However, as always happens, a few people moved away, and sadly, a few died, so the net gain was zero. Undeterred, the people of St. John's then set a goal of 20% increases in membership and attendance for the next year. And to help them reach that goal, they pulled some dusty evangelism books off the shelves of the church library. They did some research on the internet, and they engaged a professional church evangelism consultant. That year, St. John's had a fellowship Sunday where members were encouraged to bring a friend to church with them on that day. A postcard was mailed to every house in the zip code, talking about how St. John's was a great place for food, fun, and family. A commercial for St. John's ran on late-night cable TV, featuring the pastor wearing a sweatsuit, and saying nice things. But the peoples of St. John, although faithful, were very shy about inviting others to church, and there were only a few visitors on Friendship Sunday. The postcards mostly wound up in the trash can without ever being read. And there's no evidence that anyone ever saw the TV commercial except for people who were already church members who stayed up late just to see it. Now, half a world away was the country of Old Catawba. The United States military had a strategic interest in the country of Old Catawba and worked with many of the people who lived there. When Old Katova unfortunately fell to a communist dictatorship, the U.S. brought Katovans who were loyal to them to the United States to live here. Now, in Wagovi, there were many empty apartment buildings and houses and storefronts, so the government brought hundreds of Old Katovans into the small town of Wagovi. St. John's immediately saw an evangelism opportunity with the influx of the Katovans. But how could they attract them to church? Now, as everyone knows, the national favorite food of Old Catawba is rutabagas. And the religion that most people follow in Old Catawba is Bokanonism. So the people of St. John's decided that they would have their first annual rutabaga festival. And all of the Old Catawban immigrants would be invited. Everyone attending would receive a free bag of rutabagas. Then there would be a dinner featuring rutabagas cooked in several different ways. And after that, there would be an evangelistic worship service, which would include elements of both Christianity and Bokanonism. Many Catawbans showed up for the free rutabagas. They thought that that was a very neighborly gesture, and they appreciated it. But some of them didn't quite understand that they were expected then to stay for dinner. When the St. John's members gently insisted, some stayed, but some angrily took their bag of rutabagas and left. The dinner did not go so well. The Americans made the rutabaga entree with red curry, not green curry, which to the Catawbans would be like putting ketchup on cottage cheese for us. They politely choked it down, and then many went home to brush their teeth and take some Pepto-Bismol. The worship service was an even bigger disaster. It began as a typical prayer and praise service. Now, much of the Bokanonist belief and ritual is shouted in ministry, but the one thing that everybody knows about Bokanonism is that a service always ends with the sacrifice of a chicken. That is how the service ended, and it was not good. The Orthodox Bokanonists were very offended that anyone other than a properly ordained Bokanonist priest would participate in the chicken sacrifice ritual. And the progressive Bokanonists felt that their heritage had been parodied. The reaction among the Christians was even angrier. The good people of St. John's objected to the idea of bringing pagan worship services into their Christian worship for the sake of evangelism. Their altar had been desecrated. Especially stinging was that every Christian knows that animal sacrifice in the Old Testament was merely a foreshadowing of the great once and for all sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. No other sacrifices are necessary. The elders met, the district president came in, and eventually peace was restored, and lessons were learned. What were those lessons? People know when they are being pandered to. People also know when they are being lured in with the old bait and switch. So often churches will offer a product or a service and then ask people to sit through an evangelistic service, which probably strikes them as a sales pitch. Some will do it, especially the needy, for the rutabagas or whatever it is. They know how to play the game. It also appears that some Christians just want them to join their church so they can cut another notch on their Bible, a trophy of another soul saved. The truth is, they never saved any souls. The Holy Spirit did. Only the Holy Spirit creates faith. Now, my cultural references might be a little dated. I'm old. But I've never heard a Christian comedian as funny as Robin Williams. I've never seen a Christian magic act as funny as Penn and Teller. If we compete with the world on the world's terms, we lose every time. If the church only offers what the world offers with a little twist of Christianity, people are always going to choose the world's version. It's much better. And it comes without what they see as spiritual baggage. Why can't we just be ourselves and trust the Holy Spirit to send us people, to put people in our path for us to witness to? The disciples had labored all night and didn't catch any fish until Jesus told them where to go. Do we think that God can't do things without our help? I don't see in the Bible anywhere where Christ and the apostles say, okay, let's create a marketing strategy and pick a target audience and sell to these people. When the fishers threw out their nets, they didn't know if they were going to get tilapia or carp or atheist or bocanonist. They accepted whatever, whoever they got. And when the crowds came out to hear Jesus, whoever showed up got the word. His message was so powerful that people sought him out. People know where to find the church when they need us, and they usually don't come until they need us, no matter what we do. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they talk a lot about hitting rock bottom. For many people, rock bottom is the starting point of faith. A big part of evangelism is just showing up, just being here, just being available, and being welcoming. There is always pressure for the Christian church to change and be more like the world or more like other religions. Last week in the sermon, we talked about love. The love chapter was our reading that day. If someone says that they will only love you if you change for them, that's not really love, is it? And then if you do change, then you're not really yourself anymore, are you? If the church changes to fit the culture, if we change ourselves to make our beliefs, our ways more attractive to the world, then we're really not the church anymore, are we? God does not change. The word of God endures forever. We should not be blown about by every cultural whim. Luther said, just because the birds fly over your head, you don't have to let them nest in your hair. A few years back, there was a book called Why Christianity Must Change or Die. The author of that book obviously doesn't know what Jesus said about his church. Jesus said that not even the gates of hell would prevail against the church. It will endure. The church will endure no matter how big or how small it might be, no matter how strong or how weak it might be in the world's estimation. The church will continue to be here until Christ comes again. We can be sure of that. And so we minister, we witness to whoever God puts in front of us. We cast our nets and we trust in Jesus. Now, Some of you might know that Bokanonism is not a real religion. It's a religion made up by Arthur Kurt Vonnegut for his book, Cat's Cradle. But there is something that I think the Bokanists got mostly right. This is part of one of their prayers, and it's about creation and our relationship to God. They say, God made mud. God said to some of the mud, sit up. See all I have made, said God, the hills, the sea, the sky, the stars. And I was some of the mud that got up and looked around. Lucky me, lucky mud. I sat up and saw what a nice job God had done. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.